Okay, we're outside the Commonwealth Pool, which is empty, and we're facing the road into Holyrood Park, and Tom Allen, who's collaborated on the Inner Tube map with the bike station, is here with me. And where are you taking me, Tom? We're on our bikes.
There's a really nice off-road cycle route that starts near here, but unless you knew it was there, you might struggle to find it. So I thought we'd go along now. We'll cycle down here and maybe see if you can spot it, Mike.
It's really busy with traffic, though. Are you sure there's a bike route down there?
Not only is there a bike route down there, but there's a very, very interesting and somewhat spooky shortcut, which takes you right under Holyrood Park on one of, I think, one of the longest cycling tunnels in the country. So,
and that's part of the map?
That's on the map. That's on the new Inner Tube map.
Okay, let's go. Tom, what's this tunnel called?
Railway tunnel. Don't ask me too much about the history of the tunnel.
I think I maybe saw it on Weir's Way once. What are we travelling under?
We're at the Holyrood Park right now.
I had no idea this was here.
It's really cold.
Yeah. It feels downhill too. Do you reckon it is?
There's a slight gradient downhill. My understanding is that when this was originally open, it was used with horse-drawn carts. It was a railway line, but it was horse-drawn and it was used to bring coal.
Below the road that goes up round Arthur's Seat.
Yeah, the road that goes to Duddingston.
Can you explain what an ambassador is? It's basically volunteering in return for a lot of useful training and skills, is that right?
I'd say so. I mean, the ambassadors, the 10 ambassadors, will be responsible for the different bits of the route. And it's a voluntary role. And in return for their time and energy and commitment, they will basically get trained. They get trained in like a variety of different things. So they get trained in using multimedia phones, in how to use social media, but they'll also get trained in things like basic bike maintenance, bike safety, and they'll do some voluntary work with Edinburgh and Lothian's Green Space Trust. So they'll learn about conservation work on the route as well. So what I hope, I mean, for the people who do it, I really hope they find it a really satisfying, worthwhile experience that kind of leaves them with valuable skills for other things, which they can, I mean, they could use that for anything. They could use that for their own projects or hyperlocal blog or in their working life, because I think all these skills are really useful and relevant.
And how can people get in touch to find out more? Are you at the point where you're looking for people to get in touch with you?
Yeah, we're actively looking for people who are interested in this now. So the best thing to do is to drop us an email. And the email address is innertubemap@gmail.com. Or they can get hold of, if they're already on Twitter, if they're a bit advanced, they can just tweet us at innertubemap. Some of the people who we will get on the project almost certainly won't have pre-existing skills in social media. And, you know, that's as it should be as well. There's no point in just taking people who've already had access to these things and letting them do it, because then you're not kind of sharing those skills amongst people in the city who haven't already been empowered.
Where are you going to and from again?
I'm just coming from Musselburgh, and I'm going towards Edinburgh University. So I've just used this cycle path. I use it quite often, and this is one of my favourites. You know, I really like the one in there that goes along Ferry Road. Because at the same time you can also like cycle for ages, you know, without having to like getting bump into a traffic light or cars or anything like that. This one is a bit shorter, but it's also very nice because you've got Arthur's Seat and you've got the loch, and you see animals, you know, like crossing about, and so it's very nice.
Yeah,
very,
and nice. Compared to the main road, you know, along Newington, is it quicker, do you reckon?
I would say so, yeah. I would say if I have to come this way, I would just come definitely on the cycle path. I think it's quicker, you know, because there's no traffic lights, you know, so you save time.
And have you seen the Inner Tube map? What do you make of it?
I just had a look at it the other day. Like, I was actually, I think I saw it on your blog. So, but I didn't have a look at it properly. But I think it's a great idea. I think it's great that people are cycling in Edinburgh, you know, and if they've got like these alternative routes, you know, like away from the cars, you know, like that will stimulate more people and it makes your ride more enjoyable, you know.
What do you think needs to be done on this path, Tom? Do you think it needs any improvements? Like, I guess it could do with some lighting.
Well, Miguel was saying that he nearly came off on some branches that were down on the route, and obviously that's going to happen. I mean, it's we've just finished winter and stuff, and it's bound to be debris and things. But generally speaking, this, like many of the paths, could be a bit neater. I mean, there's not much rubbish down here. There's some that could be sorted out. The kind of foliage and the mud and stuff from winter is encroaching in different places. Now, at the moment, while these routes are still relatively quiet, that's not an issue. But if you were to see the potential of these routes fully utilised, there would be a lot of people on them, and you need the full width there.
Yeah,
and really, that's what it should be like. I mean, these should be major arterial routes for the city, for cyclists, for commuters, for people walking. So, and you know, places like the canal paths, they're already full, so...
And they're so narrow, you don't want to land in that canal.
They're very narrow. But the main thing is making sure that they're well used, that they're well maintained, and that, I think, people look after them well. And as you say, lighting, I mean, this route, it's nice enough now, but at night...
No, it's true, I forgot about nighttime. Sorry to interrupt. But nighttime, yeah, you do need, like, I've got very good lights, but otherwise you can't see, there's not a single light, which, in a way, makes it quite... nice, you know, because I, not just now, but like maybe 2 months ago, I was finishing work at 4, 5 o'clock, and it was dark, and I was coming, there was only my light, you know. But if this was to become like a proper cycle route, it would need light. It would, at the same time, it might, I don't know, it's a difficult one, it might ruin a little bit, because, well, you've got a like a natural reserve here, so maybe the light will have to come from this side. So it doesn't bother, you know, the birds that are nesting or that resting there.
I'm sure that would be taken into consideration. Mm. There must be about a metre at least of the path missing here due to the foliage coming over.
Yeah, that's, I think that's another issue. I mean, I nearly came off because of that. I know it's winter, but if this becomes busier, they will have to like start to like maybe like thinking about widening it up a little bit.
It's one of the things we saw on the Ferry Road path the other day. We were out with Edinburgh and Lothian's Green Space Trust, and they were pointing out that the massive difference between the areas of the path that were being swept just within a mechanised cleaner, where it was clean and tidy and there was lots of space, and then it just got narrower and narrower and narrower, and you got to points, really busy points, and yeah, you're going to end up with people colliding into pedestrians and accidents happening, and people will get angry and think that it's because people aren't being considerate, but a lot of it is just the fact that you've got less space. I mean, hopefully, you know, part of the project and part of the social media aspects of the project with the ambassadors will help to highlight those problem areas and maybe push a little bit harder for them to be sorted out. Is that Ant?
Yes.
Hey, have you got 5 minutes?
Meeting plenty of people that you already know.
Familiar faces. Do you mind introducing yourself first of all?
I'm Anthony Robson. I'm a lawyer in Edinburgh, run the City Cycling website.
What route do you take? Is this a daily route for you?
It is. I joined the Innocent Path at Bingham. I live in Duddingston, so I just sort of skip through the Innocent Path and take it up as far as the Commonwealth Pool.
Yeah.
So every day.
And how long does it take you?
It's not too bad, actually. I mean, my entire route, it's about sort of 5.5 miles, and the direct route would be about 4 miles, 4.5 miles. So it does make it longer, but because you've got no traffic lights or anything like that, and you can just motor along, and the only hill of any significance is going up the tunnel. You know, I'm at work in anywhere between 20 minutes and half an hour.
Fantastic. And I guess it minimises the risk of injury and accidents too.
I mean, pretty much. It's unless you count errant dogs that aren't on a lead. But I mean, it is a walking route as well, and you've got to ride it accordingly. You know that there's going to be people walking about, and it gets you out of the traffic for a while, which it's quite nice to do.
One of the aims of the InnerTube map is for it to become interactive and for people to take pictures of things that they think need fixed and whatnot.
Yeah.
Do you think there are any elements of your route to and from work that could do with some work? For example, somebody suggested lighting earlier on.
The lighting, I mean, it might make it a nicer place to be when it gets to winter. And I have to admit, late at night, I don't cycle down here. But I'm not entirely sure that lighting along the entire length of it would actually make it any safer, to be perfectly honest, at night. That's all about being sensible. There's plenty of places in the city that are lit up at night, and there's still problems there. You know, and I think if you're going to be riding down it at night, it's more sensible to just have someone with you, even if there is lighting. I think the route itself, I mean, it's one of the routes in the city that shows what can be done, and can be done very, very well, just with a little thought, a little political will, really.
What do you make of the South Side cycle corridor?
The South's not as good as the North, let's put it that way. I used to live in Trinity, and I used to use the Trinity path all the time, and again it was a longer route to get to work, but just because it was such a nice route, and certainly for people cycling in Edinburgh, if you're starting out, it avoids any hills and things like that. So from that point of view, it's absolutely fantastic. The South Side is missing quite a bit of infrastructure of the same sort, and it's not as if the routes aren't there. There are disused railway lines all over the place, and they are exactly that, they're disused by anyone. So it'd be nice if they were to open up a few more of those.
Yeah, okay, well, don't let us hold you up getting home.
No,
sure,
not at all.
Your tea's waiting. We've just stopped near the Blindcraft factory, as it happens.
That was my bike.
That was Tom's bike. And there's quite a lot of rubbish around here. What would an ambassador do?
Well, actually, part of an ambassador's job would probably be what we were just doing there. We basically stopped and chatted to a couple of people for 5-10 minutes, and regular users of this route, a guy and a girl, and just asked them whether there were any problems on the route, whether there was anything they liked or didn't like about it. So part of what an ambassador would do would be to talk to people, maybe interview them using their 3G phone, get people's opinions and find out if there's anything that could be improved. So, gathering information, you know, and being a good kind of active citizen. But, yeah, there's also, in this section, much more than on the section we were on previously, a lot of litter down the banks. There's a lot up here. So, with that, I would probably ask if they would use their phone, take a quick geotagged photo and upload that to our Twitter stream. And once the website goes live, the interactive website with the blog and with the online map, that will automatically feed through onto the map and show where the litter is. So you'll be able to see the map and you'll be able to see what's going on, you know, in terms of like problems around the city and stuff, and hopefully get somebody to deal with it. So we'll use that, but we'll also use something like Fix My Street to, you know, make the council aware of it. We don't expect necessarily that everything's going to be done by the council, because it's, you know, limited resources and time and energy and stuff. So we'd quite like to organise litter picks and, you know, flock local type things where people can come down and get stuck in and you know, and beautify their areas and just get rid of some of this stuff, because I think that's a good way for people to feel involved in their community.
What types of people would you hope would get involved with their iPhones and things like that?
Well, it's a good question. I mean, I should say as well, we'll provide people with training and we'll give them a 3G phone or an iPhone. We're not sure exactly which type yet, but they'll be equipped with the right tools to do the job, as it were. We're not just looking for cyclists. We want to represent all the people who use these walkways and cycle routes in the cities. And as you've seen just on the short cycle route we've had, that includes all kinds of people. That includes people who are out maybe as commuters going very fast, or people who are maybe pootling along a bit slower on bikes. People are walking, people are jogging. So we'd like to have a real mix of people across the city. It might be somebody who takes their horse out on one of the routes, or a wheelchair user, or somebody who's got small kids and feels strongly about being able to use the section or the path near them without having people hurtling past at 25 miles an hour.
So as well as kind of broadcasting pictures, comments, stories, an important part of the map is to listen as well, would you say?
Oh, definitely. Like, I mean, we don't really know what's going to come out of it yet. The map is really a starting point, and over the year we're hopefully going to be gathering lots and lots of information and feedback. The ambassadors will be out there doing that. We'll be crowdsourcing stuff and asking people to send in information. I mean, for example, the guy we were speaking to just there, Ant, was saying, well, There's always glass on this route because the local kids come and throw bottles down. And the girl we were speaking to said the kids bring branches to put across the route. Now, earlier we spoke to Miguel, and he said there were branches on there, but he thought that was just because it was winter and they'd fallen down. Well, maybe people are deliberately doing that. So it's just kind of building up a picture of what's going on across the routes all around the city. Some of it so you can do something about it, and some of it just so that people are aware of the routes and start to think about how they could be improved. And it may be, you know, blue sky thinking, in 20 years' time, these routes will be absolutely beautiful. Maybe there'll be allotments along the sides of them. Maybe there'll be all kinds of flowers and plants. Although there are some problems on some of the routes, they're really beautiful, these routes. I mean, it's the sun's going down now behind Arthur's Seat over there. The birds are all flying off the trees. I mean, we're cycling on a cycle path, but it feels like a nature reserve. In fact, it probably is a nature reserve, Duddingston Locks over there. But I just think they're wonderful parts of the city. They really add something to it. And it's going to be great if more and more people start to use them. It's sunset. It's getting dark. And there's the most amazing noise from all the birds coming into roost.